My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Grandma and Grandpa are coming over for dinner. The aunts and uncles are coming over for dinner, and they're bringing with them all the cousins, so the cousins are coming over for dinner. And in my family, that's a lot of people. And if you go into my house, you'll see that my dining room does not have that many seats around it. And so when Grandma and Grandpa and the aunts and uncles all come for dinner, a hierarchy of tables begins to develop in our house. You have the dining room table, and the dining room table is the best table, because that's the one the adults get to sit at, and that's the one where the adults get to talk to one another without any children around. And then you have the little kids' table, and the little kids' table, that's placed close to the adult table in case any of those kids need some help, but the goal is that the little kids can handle themselves. And when enough cousins get together and there's enough kids around, then the little kids' table separates into the little kids' table and the big kids' table. And the big kids' table is special because the big kids generally aren't even in the same room as everyone else. They have to move to a different room with different tables and less supervision. And then in the corner is the dog. And the dog is sitting there, and he's watching especially the little kid's table to find out what he's going to be eating for dinner. And you know that there's a hierarchy of those tables, because when a little kid finds out that they are now old enough to move from the little kid's table to the big table, or the big kid's table, there is rejoicing. They are excited. They have gotten away from the parents. And then when one of the kids at the big kid table finds out that they are now old enough or they are now mature enough to move to the adult table, they're teenagers by that point, so you can't tell that they're rejoicing, but there's a little excitement that they're considered able to participate in the adult conversations. And you really see the hierarchy at those tables when one of the adults gets demoted to the little kid's table because they need to help the little kids, and then you really know that there's a hierarchy at those tables. As the Lord spreads his banquet of grace out for the children of Israel to partake in, as the Lord sends his Messiah to the children of Israel, the children of Israel developed a kind of hierarchy to how that banquet was to be served. There were those who could sit at the adult table. These were the good Jews. These were the rabbis, these were the teachers of the law, these were the scribes, these were the Jews that went to synagogue every single week. And then you had the kids' table, and this table still belonged to the Jews, but these were the Jews that the good Jews thought needed to improve a little before they could make their way up. These would be the sinners, these would be the tax collectors, these would be the unclean. These would be the people that are still recipients of God's grace, but something has to change. And that was it for the tables. You see, there were the Jews, and then there were the Gentiles. And the Gentiles didn't belong at the banquet table. Now, they would make an exception. You see, there were some Gentiles that listened to what the rabbis had to say. There were some Gentiles who sat there and said, well, the Lord, he is God. The Lord who is sending his Messiah as the son of David. We believe in the Messiah. We know he's coming. We're not Jews, but we're willing to hear what they have to say. And these were the Gentiles that stood in the door. And the Jews would tolerate these Gentiles because at least they were worshiping the true God. And then there was the dog. Only this wasn't the dog that sat in the corner seeing what they could grab. These were the wild dogs, the rabid dogs, the dogs that when they come on your farm, you try and dispatch them because they're going to harm the sheep. And the Gentiles, in general, were those dogs. And when you looked at those dogs, the Canaanites, the ones that lived surrounding the people of Israel, these were the lowest of the low of the dogs because they were the Gentiles that were living in the land that should have been the Israelites. And these Gentile dogs, these Canaanites, they didn't deserve any of God's grace at all. They didn't deserve a place at that banquet table at all. Now Jesus finds himself going through Tyre and Sidon, the land of the Canaanites that was supposed to belong to Israel. And as Jesus and his disciples go through the land, one of those wild dogs starts to approach Jesus. And that wild dog sits there and cries out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." And she approached the one who was preparing that banquet because she recognized who it was that was preparing that table. She recognized that he was the Son of David. She recognized that this was the Messiah who was to come into the world. This was the Messiah that God had promised to his people Israel to take the throne that David sat on. And this woman needed help. This woman needed a Messiah because the gods of her people weren't helping her. And the people around her weren't helping her. And she wasn't able to be helped herself. She needed someone to help her. She needed someone to rescue her. She needed someone to show her mercy. And she recognized the only person that could show her that mercy, and she went to him and she appealed to him. The disciples don't see it that way. The disciples see someone who's approaching them that just doesn't belong. They saw a woman who doesn't have a seat at the table that they were sitting at. They saw a stranger who lived in a strange land, who worshiped strange gods, who was ceremonially unclean, who was flat out as different from them as you can be. And because she was different and because she was a Jew, she shouldn't be around them and they shouldn't be around Jesus, because Jesus came to be the Messiah for the people of Israel. And so the disciples see this woman crying out for mercy, and they can see that this is someone who needs help, and they can see that this is someone who is looking for her Savior. And instead of taking up her plea and going to Jesus and saying, "Lord, have mercy on this woman," the disciples saw her only as that wild dog and turned around to Jesus and said, "Tell her to be quiet. Don't have anything to do with this woman. Don't have any compassion on this woman. Don't do anything for this woman except tell her to be quiet because she is annoying us, and send her away. There isn't room at the table for her too, Jesus." And Jesus responds to his disciples with what we hear is a shocking response. He says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." And you can hear the disciples there, and they're thinking, "Yeah, that's right, Jesus. You only came for Israel. You only came for God's chosen people." It doesn't seem like Jesus is caring for this woman either. It seems like this should be the end of the line for this woman. But what does this woman do? She doubles down. Instead of going through the disciples and trying to convince the disciples to plead for her, she directly approaches Jesus now. And she falls prostrate before Jesus so that her head even is on the ground before him. And at his feet, she begins to plead, "Lord, help me." And Jesus responds to her, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." And you would think at this point that this is the point to give up. This is the point to sit there and say, "God's mercy isn't for me." But there was something about what Jesus said that this woman picked up on that's hard for us to pick up on as we read it in English. You see, the Jews would call the Gentiles dogs, those rabid dogs, those wild dogs. And they used that term as a slur. But as Jesus says, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs, the word he uses there for a dog is the household dog. The pet dog, the one that is sitting in the corner watching the tables and waiting for dinner to be over so that it can come and clean up all the crumbs that are underneath it. And this woman picked up on that. She hears this term that Jesus calls her, and she realizes that Jesus has just opened his tent. That Jesus has just welcomed her to the table, so to speak. And so she continues to plead, looking at the son of David. And she says, "Yes, it is, Lord, for even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." You see, as she looked at Jesus, she saw the Son of David, whose mercy was so great that even if she just received a crumb of his mercy, that crumb of mercy was greater than anything she could possibly need. The disciples were viewing this woman from that hierarchical point of view. She was an outsider. She was a foreigner. She was a Gentile. She doesn't have a place at the table because of where she came from and who she was. But as Jesus talks to that disciple, that very first statement, "The Son of Man came for the lost sheep of Israel," he flips the table over on them. You see, he doesn't just sit there and say, "I have come for the Jews." He did. He came as the promised Messiah for the Jewish people. But as he talks to the disciples, he helps them understand that there are lost sheep who are part of Israel that weren't Jews. And in his mercy, he welcomed all those who were seeking him out. That's how great God's mercy is. God's mercy is so great that it's too small of a thing for him to send his son just for Israel. But God in his mercy made Jesus a light for the Gentiles, that salvation might reach to the ends of the earth. And as Paul points out, all those who were once far away have now been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. And as we see Jesus interact with this woman in this way, we actually have to give thanks for the crumb that God gives to this Canaanite woman. Because as we look at Christ, the Son of David, we have to understand that we are closer to that woman than we are to the disciples. We are Gentiles just like that woman was. We are outside the God's chosen people that he promised to send his Messiah to. And yet God in his mercy sent his son into the world to call all those to himself who have no other place to turn for help, who have no other place to turn for a savior. And not only did God send his son to die for us, but God also raised his son on the third day so that we could approach the table that he has prepared, not as dogs, but as his brother and sister, as equals with everyone else who is sitting at that table. And what wonderful crumbs he gives us, aren't they? As we take those crumbs he drops for us, we discover he gives us the forgiveness of sins. As we have those crumbs that he gives us, we discover his mercy as he reminds us that we have a new life in him. As we taste those crumbs, we have the assurance that we are part of that wedding banquet that is part of the feast at the wedding of the Lamb. And now that we've been invited to that table, now that begs us the question, what are we going to do with the mercy that we have received? Do we find ourselves starting to be like those disciples who have created a hierarchy of the tables of God's grace, where we sit there and decide who can be at this table and who can be at this table and who can be at the door and who shouldn't be there at all? Or do we find a way to rejoice that the people who are around us are also seeking to partake of that banquet just as we are? Or if you want to look at it another way, as a congregation, as our Savior Lutheran Church here in Grafton, Wisconsin, do you find yourself coming to worship, and as you come to worship, looking around to seeing who's here, and as you partake of the banquets that God has prepared for you, Do you find yourself looking around and trying to determine if the people around you are worthy of the same banquet that you have received? Do you recognize that you have been made part of the body of Christ, that you stand on the same foundation that every other Christian stands on, and you are united in Christ? Or do you find yourself sitting there and saying, you can't be a part of us because you don't have the same politics that I have? Or you can't be part of us because you come from a different background than I come from. Or you can't be a part of us because you have a different culture than I have. Or you can't be a part of us for whatever reason it may be. Do you find yourself looking and seeing someone who is hurting, but they don't hurt like you hurt, and so you pull away from them? Do you see someone who's struggling with a sin, but they don't struggle with the sin that you're sinning with, and so you look down on them? Do you find someone who is broken, but they're broken in a way that's different than you, and so you try not to help them? Or do you look around and see the people around you as people who can only find the help they need in their Savior? And because they're looking for help, or they're looking for healing, or they're looking for forgiveness, just as you are, you hold out your hand and you say, come to the table with me, and come to the feast with me, and come and enjoy the banquet with me. The thing about questions like this is I don't know the answer. I've only been here 4 weeks. I'm still trying to figure out what your name is. And yet there are some things that I do know, even though I've only been here for 4 weeks. I know that you and I have been welcomed to the banquet table of our Lord. I know that you and I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I know that you and I continue to approach the altar, yearning to hear the words, your sins are forgiven. I know that we all have our own sins that we struggle with. I know that we all have our own ways that we've been hurt. I know that we all have our own ways that we've been broken. And I know we've all found that comfort that comes of knowing that our Savior still calls us His own. And He still calls us to Himself. And because we know that about ourselves, and because we know that is what we receive as we gather together, now we find ourselves equipped to welcome those around us who are hurting. And we are equipped to help those around us who are broken. And we are equipped to comfort those who struggle with sins that we don't struggle with, because we have the same Savior. The same Savior who gives us the crumbs of His mercy. Crumbs that are so much more mercy than we could possibly ever need. May God grant each of us the privilege and the opportunity to not only look and see those who are seeking a Savior as we do, but the strength to welcome them to the table that we also sit at. Amen.